This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents Schismatrix Plus by Bruce Sterling, performed by Pavi Prochko. Introduction: The Circumsolar Frolics. I wrote this book and these stories 11 years ago. I finished the manuscript of Schismatrix just before I turned 30. Then I quit my day job. When I completed the Shaper Mechanist series, I knew that I finally had a hot and sticky 10-fingered grip on the genre. I'd learned how to make science fiction address my own concerns, express my own ideas, and speak in my own voice. It was a hugely exciting feeling. I've never gotten over it. Also, I've never had a real job since. This is the first book that I wrote on a word processor. My first two novels were written on manual typewriters. They were the best books I could do at the time, and they had quite a lot of rebellious kicking and thrashing in them, but they couldn't be classed with Schismatrix. It was a revelation when I first saw my text become electric vapor on the screen of a computer. I realized that I'd become part of a new generation in science fiction, a generation that had profound, genuine, technical advantages over all predecessors. This freed me almost overnight from any sense that I still dwelt in the long shadows of Verne, Wells, or Stapledon. Those writers were titans of the imagination, but they were one and all confined to analog technologies of ink and wood pulp. Now I could do what I liked with words: bend them, break them, jam them together, pick them apart again. It was like patiently studying blues guitar and suddenly finding a fire engine red Fender Stratocaster. When I began work on the Shaper Mechanist pieces, I had learned how to stop reading quite so much science fiction. By that time, I was already brimful. Instead, I learned to absorb the kind of material that science fiction professionals themselves like to read. Three books in particular had a huge influence on my thinking and on the composition of the Shaper Mechanist world. First among them was The World, the Flesh, and the Devil by J.D. Bernal. The book was written in the 1920s and would be universally acknowledged as a stellar masterpiece of cosmic speculation, except for the uncomfortable fact that J.D. Bernal was a lifelong fervent communist. His work simply couldn't be metabolized during most of the 20th century because the author himself was politically unacceptable. I never had much use for communism, but I had plenty of use for J.D. Bernal. The second book was Freeman Dyson's Disturbing the Universe. Freeman Dyson could have been a mighty figure in the genre if he'd become a science fiction writer instead of a mere world-class physicist at Princeton. I was lucky enough to have lunch with Freeman Dyson a couple of years ago. I was able to thank him for the fact that I had filed the serial numbers off his prose, hot-wired it, and employed it in my work. Professor Dyson had never read Schismatrix, but he was astonishingly good-humored about the fact that I had boldly hijacked 30 or 40 of his ideas. What a gentleman and scholar. The third book was Ilya Prigozhin's From Being to Becoming. This book boasted some of the most awesomely beautiful scientific jargon that I had ever witnessed in print. The writing was of such dense, otherworldly majesty that it resembled scripture. It was very like the crammed prose and eyeball kicks that we cyberpunks were so enamored of, with the exception, of course, that Prigozhin's work was actual science and bore some coherent relation to consensus reality. So naturally, I used his terminology as the basis for the Shaper Mechanist mysticism. It worked like a charm. Eventually, a fan of mine, who happened to be one of Professor Prigozhin's students, gave him a copy of Crystal Express, which contained the Shaper Mechanist short stories. Professor Prigozhin remarked perceptively that these stories had nothing whatever to do with his Nobel Prize-winning breakthroughs in physical chemistry. Well, that was very true, but charms are verbal structures. They work regardless of chemistry or physics. I wrote the stories before the novel. I used the Shaper Mechanist short stories as a method of exploration, a way to creep methodically into the burgeoning world of the book. First came Swarm, which involves two characters only, and is set light years away from the eventual center of the action. Next, I wrote Spider Rose, set on the fringes of the solar system and the fringes of schismatric society. After that came Cicada Queen, which thundered headlong into a major shaper mechanist city and examined their society as it boiled like a techno-crazed anthill. Sunken Gardens was set late in my future history, a framing work. The experimental 20 Evocations was my final word on the subject. It was a dry run for the forthcoming novel, and with that effort, I was carrying my crammed prose technique as far as it would go. These were my first published short stories. I had one other story, Man-Made Self, published when I was a teenager, but alas, the manuscript pages were scrambled at the printers, and the published story was rendered unintelligible. I had to disown it. That made Swarm my official story premiere. Swarm was also my first magazine sale, to the magazine of fantasy and science fiction, in April 1982. Swarm is still the story of mine most often reprinted. I'm still fond of it. I can write a better prose now, but with that story, I finally gnawed my way through the insulation and got my teeth set into the buzzing copper wire. Schismatrix was my third novel, but the first to go into an immediate second printing, in Japan. I valued the Japanese SF milieu very highly ever since. Recently, Schismatrix became my first novel to come out in Finland. Perhaps there is a quality in good translation that can't be captured with the original. One might not think that a book this weird and idiosyncratic could survive translation into non-Indo-European languages, but on the contrary, it's that very weirdness that seems to push it through the verbal and cultural barriers. Schismatrix is a creeping sea urchin of a book, spiky and odd. It isn't very elegant, and it lacks bilateral symmetry, but pieces of it break off inside people and stick with them for years. These stories and this novel are the most cyberpunk works I will ever write. I wrote them in a fine fury of inspiration, in those halcyon days when me and my ratty little cyberpunk co-conspirators first saw our way clear into literary daylight. I think I could write another book as surprising as this one, or even as weird as this one, but it would no longer surprise people that I can be surprising. My audience would no longer find it weird to discover that I can be weird. When I wrote this book, I was surprising myself every day. In those days of yore, cyberpunk wasn't hype or genre history. It had no name at all. It hadn't yet begun to be metabolized by anyone outside a small literary circle. But it was very real to me, as real as anything in my life. And when I was hip-deep into Schismatrix, chopping my way through circumsolar superpower conflicts and grimy micronation terrorist space pirates, it felt like holy fire. Now, all the shaper mechanist stuff is finally here in one set of covers. At last, I can formally tell a skeptical public that the title of Schismatrix is pronounced Schismatrix, with a short A, like schismatics, but with an R. Also, Schismatrix is spelled without a Z. I do hope this helps in the future. People are always asking me about, demanding from me even, more shaper mechanist work. Sequels, a trilogy maybe. The Schismatrix sharecropping shared universe as created by Bruce Sterling. But I don't do that sort of thing. I never will. This is all there was and all there is. Bruce Sterling. Bruce S@well.com, Austin, Texas, 29/11/95.